This is the BBC Light Program.
You'll get a punch up the conch, Wool.
Mr. Seagoon, the practice of punching BBC announcers up the conch was outlawed in 1773.
Wrong, Wallace, wrong.
He's wrong. He's
wrong indeed.
Wrong.
Only recently there was a fresh outbreak of up the conch punching. Now loosen your gentleman's support for elderly couples. Watch the great poet tragedian William McGonagall sets the scene.
Thank you, Paganini. Let me hear that melody divine, Toxin.
Oh, folks. Oh, folks. The ballad of the punch of the conch. No laughing, please, folks. Listen, folks, 'twas in the year of 1953 when the punch of the conker struck without rhyme or reason. Late one night, without any warning, he struck a gentleman's private conch whilst he was yawning.
Hello, hello. What's going on here?
Oh, I've been punched up the conch, officer.
I'll have to make a note of this. Now, where did I put my notebook? Oh, it's in the sideboard here. Now, tell me all.
Well, I was sleeping on the Joe in the garden. The piano. When a leather omnibus draws up, and out jumps a man wearing a mouse boxing glove on his hand. "What's that up there?" he says. Up I looks and wallop. Right up me old conk down.
I see. Have you ever committed a murder?
No.
I can't get you a nothing. Now tell me, why were you sleeping on the piano in the garden?
Because the grass was damp, mate. And I don't want to get the nadgers again, you see. My wife's got the lurgy, and my eldest boy's got the plin, mate.
Sergeant Dongler, take this man along to the station.
Yes, sir.
And put him on the train for Birmingham.
Right, sir.
Let go, mate. Come on, I'll tell you, and I won't.
You're a devil of a criminal.
11:10, Inspector Seagoon dismissed the conch punching as drunk's hallucination. Hearn of the Hearn. 11:11, Seagoon returned to Scotland Yard. 11:12, Scotland Yard returned to London. Oh, plural, plural.
Seagoon of Fabian Yard here.
Pardon me, sir. This is the management of the Red Indian Youth Hostel in Paddington W2. We are just having a nasty incident here, sir.
Really? What happened?
I'll tell you all about it. Please put on this cardboard turban. Thank you. Now, we were sitting down, sir, playing ping pong in the Oriental style, when a leather omnibus approaching from the direction of W4, and the occupant wearing a mask boxing glove is punching poor Bert Ramjet Singh right up his conk, and poor Ramjet Singh is falling backwards in the direction of SW2. So help me, sir.
Good, I said. Then that old man sleeping on the piano was telling the truth.
Yes,
sir,
it was.
Constable, go up to Birmingham and bring him back. I'm sending someone for you.
Oh,
now then, Sergeant Greenslade, question all people wearing mask, boxing gloves and driving leather and omnibuses.
It'll take time, sir.
Very well, take time. And Greenslade?
Yes, sir.
Do be careful. Remember, you're all I've got.
Don't worry, sir. I'm wearing my trousers back to front.
It must be hell in there! Here he is, sir.
Hello, mate.
You're back quickly?
Yes, we brought the train by aeroplane.
Splendid. Now, look, what did this attacker look like?
I don't know. I didn't see him, mate.
I see. And would you recognize him if you didn't see him again?
Straight away. All although, you know, sir, I must admit me eyes ain't what they used to be.
No?
No, they used to be me ears.
Sergeant, take this man to Birmingham and put him on the police station for cruel.
Nothing, Gabby, sir.
And Sergeant Gilby?
Yes, boy?
Your nose is an obvious temptation to the punch of the conker. Place his harmonica under it as a protection.
Plenty.
Right, round the back for the old brandy there.
Oh.
Quick! They've counted Gilbury's hooter! After that leather omnibus on these national health feet! Unfortunately, the leather omnibus outdistanced us whilst I was having lunch. We should have had him afters. And when I got out of bed next morning, it was completely out of sight.
Inspector, I've been looking through this logbook of leather omnibus manufacturers.
Let me see. There's only one entry. We'll have to go in there. Dear listeners, up a narrow street in a broad road, which ran through a long, narrow lane, in a quaint little old-fashioned town.
You'll starve.
We saw a small green door.
We now reveal for the very first time exactly what is going on behind that green door.
Green door? Yes, the papa pumpy, holy boy. Green door?
Min, min. I can't concentrate on the brown leather when you keep singing the green door, you know.
You gotta get modern, Henry.
Modern?
Modern.
I am modern, min. I am known as modern Cran.
Lots of mercy, he's losing
you reason. Think that because I don't sing rhythm-type melodies, that I'm a corny? Well, you asked for this.
Oh, he's losing his
reason. You aspirate. Oh, dear. I'm going to sing modern.
I'll put my corset on.
One, two, three, four. Mister, what you call him? What you doing tonight? Yeah. Put the dart up. Hope you're in the mood because I'm feeling all right. Oh, go, man, go. There, Nina. Let that be a lesson to you.
Oh, dear.
You and your Dan Lena School of Rhythm. Let us get back to the leather omnibus, Mick.
Well, we never seem to sell any.
I know, I can't understand it, you know. We make the finest leather omnibuses in the world. Min, the penguin wants to go out.
I'll tell you what, Henry, if we want to sell more of these modern leather rhythm omnibuses, we should do more modern American advertising type advertising.
We can't get more modern than we are already, Min.
What do you mean, Henry?
We've got a gas lit poster in the gents wash up and brush up in Piccadilly Tube.
I bet that's been marked for life by now.
We must keep production rolling, Min.
Yeah.
Help me lace up this leather engine.
Mind the pistons on now.
Good morning.
What is it?
Min.
Welsh rubber. What is it?
It's a jet customer direct from the Piccadilly Wash and Brush Up. Mr. Buttercullin, what are you doing tonight? Yeah.
So that's what happened to Harry Roy. Now, sir, I'm from the police department.
Min and I haven't done anything wrong.
I don't suppose you could at your age.
What?
No.
What do you mean?
What I've come for is your record of all leather omnibuses sold.
Just a minute, sir. We shall let have to look in the vital ledger.
I didn't do anything wrong.
Let's see. Omnibuses sold, yes. Here's the first one we sold, 1873.
And the next one?
Yes. Oh, we haven't finished it yet.
No. Well, who did you sell the first one to?
We don't know. You see, he punched me up the conk and displaced my spring and leather wig.
Dear listeners, here was proof. Whoever bought that leather omnibus was to punch up the conker.
No!
H-76 got back to headquarters, found dinner in oven.
2 months went by.
Dinner got cold. 3 months went by. There were no more reports of punch up the conking. Work at Scotland Yard went on as normal.
Sergeant Hobb, turn that radio down, will you? Thank you. Now, any news?
Yes, sir. I think we can close the Dick Turpin case now. We discovered... We discovered where he was hiding, sir.
Where?
Under a gravestone in Highgate Cemetery, sir.
Are you sure it wasn't a disguise?
Oh, I never thought of that, sir. I'll send a man round with a police shovel. I get him.
Yes?
Come scares all the house. Come for why isn't his house young?
Send him in.
Good morning, Inspector. Great Pipe Thin is the name. Permit me to introduce you to the part owner of my suit, Count Jim Thighs Moriarty.
Wow.
Schlapper Royal and noted amateur postman.
How do you do? How do you do?
The voice came from a thin, heavily oiled Lyle Street Frenchman.
Oh.
His suit was a West End misfit and fitted him perfectly. He occasionally took a sip from a steaming jam tin of porridge.
Inspector, we seek the long-lost heir to the Spong fortune of £40,000.
Have you any clue to his identity?
He has a habit of leaping off leather omnibuses and punching people up the conk.
Gad, there's just a chance that this might be the up-the-conk puncher.
Come on.
Beep, beep.
Moriarty? Moriarty? How many times have I told you not to drive that leather omnibus round the bedroom in broad daylight? You know these blinds are drawn, they're not real.
Thank you. I was only practicing my leap and conk punching.
Yes, I quite understand,
Moriarty. You know that, oh.
Now, did you put the advert in the Times?
Yes, here, read it.
Let me see.
From left to right, the new style.
How appropriate. They've put it in the fourth leader. Don't risk being punched up the conk. Wear a Moriarty nose protector. Now available in flesh-tint plastic. Send 10-shilling postal order for free receipt. Splendid! Well, according to the 9 o'clock news, it's getting dark outside.
Dark? What ideal conditions for night?
Yes. A few more punch up the conk attacks and the orders will start rolling in.
Right, tonight we start the punch up the conking.
I called an all-night meeting but held it in the day because the light was better.
Scampton.
Now, gentlemen, where's the head of the river police?
He's falling in the water.
Thank you, Sir Lawrence. Gentlemen! Gentlemen, I am of the opinion that the heir to the Spawn fortune and the Punch of the Conqueror are one and the same person.
How can two people be one person, sir?
It's all done under cover of darkness. Therefore, until further notice, all people showing signs of darkness will be searched.
I object!
Silence, Ellington! Give us the old Calypso banana boat song while we slip on the back for the old Marlon Brando down.
Good idea!
Gully, Helen Gully Rider, Helen Gully, Helen Gully Rider, Helen Gully.
Midnight, 12:30. Entire London police force now wearing Moriarty nose protectors. Inspector Seagon checked on all police boats with the Pearl Snarl and the Hearn Pearl.
Evening, Dachshund of Dick Green. Anything to report?
Yes. I was,
Good heavens! He's collapsed in the direction of pavement. Just as I thought. The constable's nose protector has been severely dented. And there's a fingerprint of a boxing glove on it. Quick! Give him some air. Undo the buttons on his boots.
I want to be burying my socks on.
Here, my poor man. Swallow this bottle of smelling salts. Steady now. Just sit in the direction of up and tell me what happened.
Well, I felt all right, sir, until some idiot made me swallow a bottle of smelling salts.
Pick Sergeant after him! Now, Bowser, when I arrived here, you were lying in the gutter. Why?
I was off duty, sir.
I trust it's different when you're on duty.
Oh, yes, sir. Then I lie on the pavement.
That's better.
It is.
Hello, what? Yes. Bowser, great news. A leather omnibus has been discovered grievously injured. It collided with a lead tricycle on the roof of the Kensington Science Museum. Gentlemen, the mystery assailant is now immobilized. There's only one place he can get a new leather omnibus.
Where?
Ben, surround Crumb's factory. And wear your nose protectors.
Every time.
This is the light service of the BBC home program. Here is the 9 o'clock noise. To date, the £40,000 due to the heir of Spon is still unclaimed. The only clue to the missing heir is that he always rides in a leather omnibus.
Oh, did you hear that, Gladys, darling?
Yes, darling.
If I can get a leather omnibus, I could pass myself off as the heir of Spon and collect 40,000 naughty pounds.
Oh, blimey.
Gladys, darling, this is a moment I've been waiting for.
Oh, darling.
Oh, all these years I've lived off you. You've lent me money, bought me suits, and never asked for a penny back.
Not a penny.
If I get this 40,000 pounds, at least I can afford to run away from you. Ellington, let that penguin out with you.
Yes, Major.
Yes, now lay out your puggri, your duty, and your loincloth.
Oh, good. Am I going out?
No, I am. And lay out one boot.
Why?
I'm going to hop to where the leather omnibus factory lives.
Meanwhile, in a sleeping England, and let's face it, England is asleep, I have surrounded the Crumb Omnibus factory with two plainclothes detectives who are secreted in the ground floor attic of a nearby clock repairer's.
Is it, Eccles?
Just a minute. I got it written down here on a piece of paper. And a nice man wrote the time down for me this morning.
Oh. Then why do you carry it around with you, I guess?
Well, if anybody asks me the time, I can show it to them.
Wait a minute, there goes my good man.
What is it, fellow?
It's written on this bit of paper. What is 8 o'clock, is written.
I know that, my good fellow. That's right. When I asked a fellow to write it down, it was 8 o'clock.
Well, then, supposing when somebody asks you the time, it isn't 8 o'clock.
Well, then I don't show it to them.
How do you know when it's 8 o'clock?
I got it written down on a piece of paper.
Oh, I wish I could afford a piece of paper with the time written on.
Oh,
here, Echo.
Yeah?
Let me hold that piece of paper to my ear, would you? Here. This piece of paper ain't going.
What? I've been told a forgery.
No wonder it stopped at 8 o'clock.
Oh, dear.
You should get one of them things my granddad's got.
Oh?
His firm gave it to him when he retired.
Oh.
It's one of them things, what it is, that wakes you up at 8 o'clock, boils the kettle, and pours a cup of tea.
Oh, yeah. What's it called?
My grandma.
Oh. Oh, I'll wait a minute. How does she know when it's 8 o'clock?
She got it written down on a piece of paper.
All right.
What?
A man has just got into Crun's factory.
Whoa.
If he comes out driving a leather omnibus, arrest him.
Is this man armed?
Armed and legged.
Oh.
Psst. Here he comes. Quick, Eccles. Do an imitation of a bus stop.
Stop.
I'm sorry. This is a private bus.
Come out with your hands up and your legs down.
What? I'm the heir to the Spawn fortune.
That's him. The bearded Punch of the Conqueror's brought the book. Take him in.
Hit. End of hitting. Thank you.
Oh.
Yes, folks. Bednock is now doing 100 years imprisonment. And lucky he didn't get life.
What? I denied all.
And thus, another glorious miscarriage of justice was perpetrated.
Deny, I tell you. What?
Grippipe and Moriarty, for their nose protectors, were each given a knighthood and a spare pair of trousers.
Oh, save the day.
Sic transit gloria, or in English, good night. That was The Goon Show, a BBC recorded program featuring Peter Sellers, Harry Seacom, and Spike Milligan, with the Ray Ellington Quartet, Max Gelray, and the orchestra conducted by Wally Stott. Script by Spike Milligan and Larry Stevens. Announcer, Wallace Greenslade. The program produced by Pat Dixon.